Blog Talk Radio.
This program brought to you by ProSense Productions, creators and producers of the upcoming suspense thriller. The Sick, starring Anna Margulis and Daniel Mascarilla. Visit ProSenseProductions.com for more information on how to get involved or to contribute to the Kickstarter campaign. ProSense Productions, we produce reality from imagination.
July, everybody. You are listening to another outstanding episode of Inside Acting. I am your gracious host, William Thomas Powell, also known as Mr. Ubiquitous, the host from the coast of Sage of the Stage, a man with more soul than he could control and whose every move turns to gold. Thanks for tuning in, dear listeners. I need to share with you that I will be appearing in the Capital Friends Festival play Benchmarks, wherein I play a Vietnam vet suffering PTSD. It opens July 12th, this Friday at 8 p.m. sharp at the Goethe Institute, 812 7th Street Northwest. For tickets, go to www.capitalfriends.org or call 866-811-4111. Tonight, I welcome back the incomparable Jesse Hayman, a.k.a. the world's greatest extra. For those of you who don't know, Jesse had the pleasure and the honor of kissing supermodel Bar Raffelli and the GoDaddy ad during the Super Bowl. Director Nick Weiss and producer Emily Carroll are making a documentary about Jesse, which they are currently raising funds for on Kickstarter. The documentary will follow Mr. Hayman as he capitalizes on his fame from the GoDaddy ad. So let me bring everybody in. So we've got, hey, Jesse.
Hello.
Hey, Emily.
How are you?
Hey, Nick. Hey.
Hi.
Hi, right, there.
Hey. Thank you. So, thanks for coming on the show, everybody. I think it's always good to have you back, Jesse. I know I talked with you back last December. How you been, man?
I'm good. How are you? Can you hear me well? I tried to come to a quieter location than the last one.
Okay. That's good. How's the weather out there in Southern California, man?
Oh, it's been mostly beautiful, but right now it's actually a little drizzle, but it feels good when it's humid and raining like this.
Yeah. So now, Jesse, you got to tell me, man, what's the big new project you've got coming up?
Well, recently I filmed a movie called Townies with Seth Rogen and Zac Efron that's coming out next year. And,
oh, wow.
And that's a big fighting comedy. You know, in the Judd Apatow type of sense of movie, really a little raunchy, but it's really funny, you know.
Yeah, I could always see you in kind of the Judd Apatow kind of film.
Yeah.
You kind of have that vibe.
It's definitely the roles I aim for. Those roles and roles that would maybe would have been made out for John Candy or Dom DeLuise. I definitely like those type of roles I could be going out for now.
Right. So you got to work with Seth Rogen, which I bet you that was had to have been a blast. I mean, I'm really looking forward to that movie.
Yeah, I also recently I worked with James Franco on a movie called As They Lay Dying that's coming out
okay.
at some point this year, and that premiered this year at Cannes Film Festival.
Wow. Impressive.
Yeah, so I've got a lot of things in the works, and now this project with Emily and Nick. Really hope that it gets funded so they can see what it's like to be me for a year.
Yeah. So Nick, let's segue into that. How did you meet Jesse?
I actually
like a lot of other people, I became familiar with Jesse through the YouTube video, The World's Greatest Extra, a couple of years ago, back in 2011. And I was familiar with the YouTube video, but about a year after seeing it, I came across some of Jesse's video blogs. On his YouTube account, he had done some video blogs from his apartment, just talking about his life, talking about his career, where he kind of was at that point. And at the time, I was just finishing up a previous documentary, and I thought, this guy is incredible. Like, he has such a great story. I think that this is my next documentary. And I got in contact with him via Facebook, and we just started talking, and I told him, you know, I think it would be, you know, have you ever considered having a documentary made about your story? And I'd like to possibly explore the chance to make one. So kind of went from there, and that was last November.
Okay.
And then we started talking about the documentary then, and then, you know, come the next year in February, he got the Super Bowl commercial, and that just kind of kick-started everything and kind of changed everything a little bit, made it a lot more exciting, to say the least. So.
Now, Emily, how did you get involved in the project?
Hi, Mr. Powell. Thank you so much for having us on, by the way. I know we were all really excited about this, so I just wanted to say thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Well, I actually got involved. Nick and I know each other from high school. We were in a musical together, so we've always been that kind of creative type. We've always enjoyed film and television and, you know, the process of making a production. And so he came to me after he had watched those videos. He called me and he was like, yeah, I spent the last 6 hours watching a video of this guy named Jesse, and I kind of want to talk to you about producing. And so, you know, I said, well, Nick, you know, I've got a lot going on. I had just moved to L.A. At the end of 2011, beginning of 2012. So, you know, I was getting my bearings here in the city because we're both Nick and I are from Kentucky. And when he brought this idea to me, I looked Jesse up and I saw the same World's Greatest Extra video. And I thought, my God, I was like, I think Nick has something here. And he had been in talks with Jesse. And then he brought us in. Jesse actually sent us to his agent at Clear Talent Agency. And we just kind of took it from there. Was fantastic. It was all very fateful, I think. I think it happened the way that it needed to. And here we are today with a Kickstarter campaign trying to raise funds to tell Jesse's story.
Interesting. Now, Jesse, I want you to step back in time a little bit and describe your audition for the GoDaddy commercial.
Well, the audition was very simple. They started off with the first audition, there was no girl in the room. It was just us and in a chair pretending that we're kissing someone, and then they picked us for the next round just based on how we looked, like kissing the air, you know. And then I got through the second round, and there was a girl to kiss, and she got to kiss like every guy that came in to audition that day. And I was lucky because I got to go in first, so I was the first one. So, and it was funny because that
no germs.
That girl was saying, the girl who stood in for Bar Raphael in the commercial day, and she told me you were the best kisser of all of them, so that's why you got it. that's pretty good news to hear, you know, from her, and then also from Barr herself when she's like, we were doing interviews before and after the commercial aired, and Barr was saying that I'm a very good kisser. So that's pretty cool to hear from like a top model that's kissed a lot of people, you know.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's great, man. So now, Jesse, you lost your job at 21 and you started extra work. So, I mean, back then, where did you think you would wind up? What was your future plan? Where did you see yourself going?
Well, I always saw myself landing some kind of job in the entertainment industry. I didn't know if it was going to end up being like just working the counter at Blockbuster or working the you know, at a movie theater or but I wanted really to be a writer or a producer, and I still want to do that. But right now, I found myself, surprisingly, I found the best thing for me is to be in front of the camera.
Hmm. Yeah. Okay, Emily, I know you have a Kickstarter campaign for the documentary. What's your goal? And talk about some of the perks on there.
Yeah, we do, William. We have a goal of $65,000 over the course of 30 days. And we have some fantastic prizes. Well, I should say rewards is what is the term that Kickstarter uses. And when people contribute to the campaign or make a pledge, I'm not sure if you know how Kickstarter works or if some of your listeners know as well, but essentially we have to get $65,000 worth of pledges. So when you enter in all your information, we don't actually fund the project and take the money, you know, from Kickstarter until all $65,000 or more, hopefully, has been raised. But you know, we both Nick and I have backgrounds in you know, budgeting, marketing, advertising, so we understand how to put a film budget together, how to put a budget together and make it work for us. So. So we came to that number after a series of revisions on the budget and after about 2 or 3 months of saying, okay, how much can we shoot this film for and how much will it take to get it done and made? And so that's what we came up with, and it's very exciting. I think that you know, we spent a lot of time getting feedback about the process. And we spend a lot of time getting feedback about what people want to see from our rewards. So we've got some cool things. People can take a look at the Kickstarter, and we've got, of course, the stickers and the T-shirts. We had a good friend of ours do a kind of an iconic kind of pop art poster, wall poster. It's actually a really good friend of Jesse's. And so we've got that as a reward. We've also got another friend back home in Kentucky. And he designed a T-shirt and the sticker. So these are all things. I also painted some photos of Jesse that are up on there as well as a prize. And then we're doing production books. For $25, you can get a thank you credit, a special thanks credit in the film, which is pretty special. You know, a lot of my friends are like, wait, so can we be on IMDb? And we're really excited about that. And I'm sure, you know, William, yourself as an actor, you know how exciting that first credit was and how, you know, amazing it is to see your name on a, you know, on a screen or on a television. And so we thought that would be a great way to kind of give back to the communities who have given to us. And then, of course, for the larger donations at the, you know, $1,000, $5,000, $10,000 level, we actually bring people to the premieres, and, you know, they get an opportunity to walk the red carpet that will be. And we're excited about all the different things and the ways that we can give back to the people who are contributing to the campaign.
Interesting. Okay, so now, Nick, I want you to tell me a little bit about your background in – as far as how does a guy from Louisville, Kentucky become a director?
it's weird. I actually didn't go to school for film or anything broadcast related. I actually went to school for marketing, and I took a rushing class of all things a few years ago, about 4 years ago, and at the end of the class, the final was, we had to make a video. We had to make a video of ourselves kind of like walking around talking Russian. And I remember at the time I thought it was like the stupidest thing ever. I was like, this is crazy. Why do we have to make this video? But I ended up doing it. And I ended up, you know, editing it. I just got like a MacBook at the time and it had iMovie on it. And I ended up just editing something on my computer. And that just, it really sparked my interest, and from there I kind of got more into editing, and it just kind of went from there. And I was working, about a year after that, I was working with a broadcast company here in Kentucky, and I met a guy, Edward Hebron, who's also our director of photography on this film. And he was making a film here in Louisville about high school students here that were burying homeless people. So he invited me on board that project, and 3 years later, we actually just finished that documentary. So the process of making that film was pretty much my education in documentary filmmaking and film and editing and all of that stuff. So it was after finishing, you know, doing a film about death for 3 years can take its toll. So I was kind of looking or hoping that a project would come along that would be completely different. And I never, you know, after finishing that film, I kind of had thought, you know, I don't know if I'm ever going to make a documentary before, you know, a worthy subject would have to kind of present itself to me. I didn't feel like I could go out and find anything. And then I saw Jesse's video blogs, and I was like, this is it. I can get behind this, and I can make a film about that. So I've kind of taken the, you know, the lead from producer and assistant editor and assistant director on The Potter's Field to actually directing this piece. So this is actually my first time directing. So.
Now, Jesse,
yes.
We're going to ask you a question about your popularity as an extra. It's always been fascinating to me how you've been able to just probably being an extra into this so much. And my theory is that directors really like you. I mean, they like to put you in the scenery. Why do you think directors like you so much?
I think it's because I'm so darn likable. Also just because I have that everyday look, you know, I look like just like your typical teenager in high school or nerdy guy in college or the guy that would be in the classroom at Harvard and the social networker. You know, I mean, I look like I have lots of great looks in my face, like when I'm doing expressions and stuff. So I think they love getting that moment of someone that really looks like they're supposed to be where everything is set at, you know. And I think they know that I'm easy to work with. You know, I'm very professional on set, and I you know, show up to do work and not just there to be happy to be working with, like, celebrities and stuff. You know, I'm very mature worker now, and they know that they can trust me and that I'll do a good job for them, you know.
Now, Jesse, would you rather be a movie star or a TV star?
Well, it depends. I would definitely say movie star, but I wouldn't argue about being on, like, a TV show that lasts 5 seasons and goes into syndication and runs forever, like Friends or something, where, you know, that would be awesome. You know, I'd be fine, you know. I'd be fine going to any award show, you know, if they want to give me an Emmy or an Oscar or even a Razzie, I'll take it, you know.
Now, Emily, talk a little bit about the distribution plans you have for the film.
Yeah, you know, it seems nowadays, as independent filmmakers, you know, as that culture is growing and even huge stars are coming on board as you know, quote-unquote independent filmmakers, you got to have a solid distribution plan, sometimes even before you go into production. And so that was something that was on my radar and also Nick's radar. And, of course, when you think about all the great film festivals that are out there, not just the Sundance and the Cannes and the Tribeca, but, you know, the Los Angeles film festivals and the, you know, the overseas film festivals. And so it's really important to have at least some contacts. We've made a lot of contacts through emails, through networking events, and also just by Facebooking people. I know that sounds really strange and, you know, it seems like it's a little stalkery, but people are flattered that you know who they are and that you are requesting their help. And so, you know, we might strike out a couple times and people don't respond or they don't check their emails or whatever. But, you know, the couple of times that we've reached out that we've been successful in developing relationships, this business, you know this, it's all about relationships. It's the same reason why, you know, Jesse's so, as he says, so darn likable. By directors, you know, it's like people want to get to know you, and it's not just because you're desperate and you want something from them. We've taken that approach. We very much, Nick and I, want to learn as much as we can. And, you know, you asked him earlier, how did this film come about? And it's really just because he said, I want to do it. I'm doing it. We're doing this. And that means also learning how to make connections with people. So our plans for distribution are to take it to theatrical release. If if we have to do a limited release, that's fine, but we will definitely be taking this to network. We've already had some inquiries about that as well, and we just have to figure out what the right plan is, the right plan for us. We'd like to take it the festival route as well. Who wouldn't want to do a little traveling and take Jesse on the red carpet and give him a little kiss?
Right. So, Nick, what's your start date for filming?
Well, we started filming back in March.
Okay.
And like Emily said, she's out in L.A. right now. I'm actually back in Kentucky. So myself and Edward, our director of photography, went out and we shot 7 days with Jesse. And if you've seen the trailer, the majority of the footage in that is from those 7 days. And we put together a trailer. Emily and we actually brought on a couple other camera people to shoot Jesse's birthday back in May. So at this point, that's all the filming that we have done. And basically, it's just been due to us not having the funding. And that's really why we're coming to Kickstarter now, is to get the funding to be able to go back out to L.A. And finish shooting for the next 8 months.
Okay.
As soon as it's funded, we'll get started.
Right.
Yeah. Now, Jesse, do you find that since the GoDaddy ad that you're treated differently during auditions?
I don't think so during your auditions, because there's lots of people in my shoes that have experienced the same thing, where they've booked a big ad and then you go back to the auditions, and it feels a little weird for me that they go back to auditioning when I booked such a big part, but that's just the way it is in this business. You have to go back through the same process of whatever it took you to get to that point again, you know. I just had an audition yesterday for, I think it's an Axe body spray commercial, and I felt really good about it, but I have no idea. They're looking at all types of that, so you have no idea, you know. I'm back to my point of, like, wondering if I book it, but I hope that I do, of course, you know.
And I would imagine that even at your level, especially at your level out in L.A., it's still, the auditions is pretty much still a numbers game, right?
Yeah, it definitely is a numbers game, you know, depends on how many people they're looking for a role and how many types they're looking at. And also, it's just, for me, I'm not expecting to be at another level yet, you know, even though I booked the Super Bowl ad, I don't feel like I have to, I want to be at the level where they start bringing me in for meetings instead of just auditions, but I mean, until like they start doing that, I have to just accept business at the level that I'm at, you know.
Right. So it's kind of, to me, it's like you're at a higher level, but you're not quite to a level
I definitely feel I've reached a certain level of the famous part of this business, but I still can sit in a restaurant and people don't know who I am until I start talking about myself, you know, I can still annoy strangers with my face.
Yeah. So now, Emily, now, what's your plans as far as this movie is concerned? Is this going to be a springboard for you to be a regular big-time producer, or what?
Well, William, I think from your mouth to God's ears, absolutely. You know, here's the thing. There are people come in droves to this city with the hopes of being a big actor and a big producer and a big this and a big that. And it's funny, everyone that you have on this phone right now kind of stumbled into it. We stumbled into our careers, and we did so with a lot of passion. Once we realized that it was what we were meant to do, we gave it our all. So absolutely, I've done quite a few productions. I've done reality television. I've done feature-length film. I haven't yet worked on a documentary, so that's kind
okay.
of that's the new realm for me. But yes,
you'll do great.
Say it again.
You'll do great.
Well, I think you're biased, but I'll take it.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to kind of change gears a little bit. I'm going to throw all three of you a bit of a curveball.
Uh-oh.
We're going to step back and look at the industry as a whole. There's been a lot in the news lately, and I've been thinking about this. And there was an article by, what was it, George Lucas? And
mm-hmm.
Steven Spielberg was talking about how the industry's changing, how Spielberg could barely get Lincoln into theaters, how we're going to be having $50 tickets and all this stuff. And
yeah.
then I was sort of, people were snickering at the Lone Ranger and how it kind of failed. So you guys are a little bit closer to Hollywood than I am. So what's your take? And Nick, I'm going to start with you. What's your take on the atmosphere right now in Hollywood? Why is it that there's so many character-driven, there's not enough character-driven pieces, and there's not enough rooms for documentaries like the one you're working on? But why is it that there's not room for that, and there's so much room for the superhero movies and the tentpole movies?
You know, I've actually wondered that, and because right now it seems like there's some great, all the great character-driven stories are on television. You know, you have Breaking Bad and Homeland
right.
and all these great
Mad
character-driven
Man.
Stories, but
yeah.
it's somewhat lacking in the theater. And I don't know if that's because, you know, studios know that these big action movies are a safe bet as far as making their money back. I'm not really sure. You know, I would love to see more character-driven films in the theaters. So I think that maybe at the time that it is right now, hopefully that'll change as we move forward, because I think that the amount of attention that, you know, shows like Breaking Bad and these, you know, Mad Men and all these series that are on right now that are getting so much attention, I think that eventually people are going to wake up and be like, oh, we need to put these types of stories back in the theaters, because obviously this is the type of stuff that a lot of people want to see and they're ready for it. So.
Hmm. Yeah, Jesse, what's your take on that?
I think, you know, the industry goes through phases. I don't think it's anything to worry about. I think, you know, people guesstimate how the things are going to be, but, you know, there's, you know, I don't really want to state how it's going to be one way or what some other way. I just hope that however the industry goes, I can be a part of it.
Yeah, that's a good I like your attitude. Don't worry about this. Not much you can do about the trends, really. That's a good answer.
Exactly.
So, Emily, what's your take on that?
You know, it's interesting that you bring this up, because I had a conversation with a coworker about this yesterday, and we were talking about, you know, the big word, the big E word, experimentation. And I think that a lot of people want to experience, and when I say people, I mean filmmakers, you know, your big-time directors. Now they're in the spotlight. They grew up with these great films. They're in the spotlight. They have the attention of studios, and they're saying, you know, I want to experiment with something. And I think that studios still want to have a lot of control over, you know, how the production is made, and they want to sell it. So you know, I'm with Jesse on this. I think it's part of a phase, and I think that there are ups and downs. What's interesting, and I mentioned this before, and this is why I love indie filmmaking, it's funny that you now see big-time Hollywood stars going – not backwards, but you would think backwards, and wanting to star in independent films, because that's where the story is. That's where the captivating moments are. That's where they really get to use those skills that they've honed, you know,
right.
And it's not just stunt doubles and explosions. No offense to Michael Bay, because I'm a huge Michael Bay fan, but, you know, that's kind of, you know, you get into that, and it's, of course, yeah, Jesse, I don't know if you know this, William, but Michael Bay actually asked for Jesse in the Transformers movie and was like, I want him in my background. So, you know, it's that kind of thing. It's like they handpick every little thing, and it's not a criticism. It's just an observation. But I really do hope, William, that more people have this conversation and that more people choose to experiment, whether that means 18 million remakes and reiterations of Superman and Spider-Man, or they try and take it a different route and go and do something independent and push it to a film festival and get it on Netflix, because people are watching, they're eager, they're hungry, they're always going to want new content. And it's one of the reasons why Hulu and Amazon and Netflix and all these different distribution channels are creating their own content. And writers these days have a better ability to get their material seen. And I love that. I love that. And that's why I think, you know, Jesse mentioned before that he came out here to be a writer. And he wants to produce. I think he's going to be able to achieve that goal with the new marketplace that we're setting up. With the new generation of the marketplace, I think we're all going to be able to do more and better and creative things. So that's my take.
Yeah. And speaking of more and better and creative things, now, Jesse, what's some of the pieces do you see yourself writing and directing and producing?
Mostly comedies and shows that would be on, like, Comedy Central or... I definitely want to help produce, like, independent film, like these guys are, like, doing something to help someone come to LA and make their mark on the industry, you know.
Okay. And another question I had for you.
Maybe some sci-fi something too. So I like doing. I want to do a Lucas or a Spielberg like a space movie, you know.
Yeah. That's fun stuff, but then you get into big budgets too, so that's always a challenge. Oh yeah.
That is a challenge.
Oh yeah. So now, Jesse, I'm going to ask you a question about young talent coming to Hollywood. If I'm gonna put an imaginary actor. He's 22 years old, just graduated from college. He's from, let's say, I don't know, Indiana, somewhere in the middle of the country, and he's coming out to L.A. Could that actor do the same thing that you did, you think?
Of course. Absolutely. Every day people come to town from wherever they come from, and they can make it in this town. If they strive for success, they can find it here, definitely in this town. They just got to go make sure that they stick to the right path and not gear off into the wrong path, you know? Sounds cliche. That sounds like cliche, but it's really true. I mean, if you look at like the Justin Biebers of the world, you know, they came from YouTube and now they're mega millionaires and superstars. And people criticize them, but they are who they are because they took the chance to allow you to try. You know.
Yeah. I want to talk a little bit of shop talk for a lot of my listeners here in the DMV area. I mean. And here in this area, there's a lot of projects like House of Cards, which is a Netflix production. You have Veep, which is HBO productions. So a lot of us out here, we wind up doing extra work. Can you just give us a real quick primer on how to be an ideal extra?
To be an extra, a good, really good extra, you just need to be able to, when they call you for work, be able to get to work, be able to show up with the right amount of clothes or right type of look that they're looking for.
And he's one
Sorry about that.
They shouldn't bring loud music to the stage.
Okay, sorry about that.
They should act professional. You know, they should act. It's a job. It's not a tourist attraction. It's a little job. They act like professionals and show up ready to do work and bring someone to read, because sometimes it can be long hours of just waiting for something to happen.
Right, yeah, it could be like, you know, 11, 12 hours.
Exactly, or more than that. I didn't work on it, but I had friends that worked on a day on Gilmore Girls that went like 22 hours. That's insane, but it can happen.
I can't imagine. I don't even want to imagine a day like that. I hope they got overtime and extra meals.
I'm sure they got all of that, but it's worth it. But you know, it does terrible stuff to your body. You just go to sleep and you wake up and do the same thing the next day. That's what you've got to withstand in order to make it in this business.
Yeah, that's pretty rough. That could a 22-hour day. I can't even imagine.
And on the Gilmore Girls, so I mean, you know.
Nothing wrong with that. Well, then what's been your longest day, Jesse, on the set?
Maybe not on one set, but on two different sets. I was once standing in on the movie A Thousand Words with Eddie Murphy.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Uh-huh. I stood in on that movie for Clark Duke, and then during that same time, I was standing in on it at night, and then during the day, I would go and work on Chuck for like 8 hours. So I would have like 12 hours at night and 8 hours in the day of working. So that's a lot of working on two different things on the same day, you know.
Okay, I'm going to jump over to Nick.
I was good at it.
Yep.
Yep,
so I'm jumping over to Nick. So about how much more footage do you think you need to collect before you think you'll have something for a good documentary?
Well, I think that ideally we would like to film for another 8 months.
Uh-huh.
We really want to paint an accurate, you know, if I thought it was as easy as just going out and filming, you know, a couple of days and telling that story, I mean, we can definitely do that, but I don't think the depthness and the quality and the story over time is really what I want to capture. I want to capture that progression, you know, of Jesse's career, you know, from, you know, the time right there after the Super Bowl, you know, until a year from now. And based on talking to other filmmakers and friends of mine, for documentary, it's kind of a waiting game just to see what happens. And you don't really know what the story is going to be a lot of times until you get to post-production in the editing room. And you kind of just have to wait and see what happens. And I definitely don't want to rush things on this film because I want the quality. You know, I want to paint an accurate portrait of Jesse, his career, and I think that we can only do that with time. And I found that, you know, talking to other filmmakers, that the longer, you know, you have to kind of spend the long days and the weeks and the months filming to get something that, you know, is worthy of, you know, a story. And it's all about, you know, telling a story. And I think that as of right now, I would like to film for an additional 8 months. And hopefully in that time, we can, you know, the story comes out. But I definitely don't want to rush anything. I think that that's the benefit of independent film, is that we don't really have a deadline or we have to have this out to theaters for, you know, studios by such and such date. So I think that we can kind of step back, take it as a progression. And the upside of that is we preserve the quality and the integrity of the piece. So as of right now, I would tell you an additional, you know, 8 months, I think, should be enough time to film the story. But, you know, if something was to come up, you know, 8 months from now that was huge and I felt like, you know, it was something that needed to be included in the documentary, we would certainly try to push forward and continue filming for that. You know, certainly we don't want to go on and film for years and never have an ending, but
right,
we want to keep it open so that again, we're capturing an accurate portrait of Jesse. And that's my whole goal, is to paint an accurate, you know, because I was very inspired when I first saw his video blogs. And I think it's going to be a very inspirational story for a lot of people, a lot of up-and-coming actors, people that, you know, want to get into the industry. So I just want to make sure that I preserve the quality and the integrity of Keith.
Yeah. Okay, Jesse, I got one last question for you, man. So what would be your ideal all-time favorite role to play?
My ideal ultimate fantasy role to play would be, if they ever remade Smokey and the Bandit, I'd like to play the Jack Gleason part as the sheriff, or as the trucker guy, you know, driving the truck. I like to do, or I could be the bandit if I could get in shape, you know. That kind of a road trip movie, or a cops and robbers type movie, like that'd be fun. Or do something like a Blues Brothers type of movie, you know, like just a fun comedy and like action and all that fun stuff, you know.
Yeah, that's a good answer. Those were some funny movies back in the day, back in the late 70s.
Well, that's what I grew up. That's what I grew up on watching, and they're like those movies, the Smokey and the Bandit and the Cannonball Run and the Police
right.
Academy movie. Like I definitely see myself in one of those type of films that hopefully other people will watch, and then they get inspired to get into the business too.
Okay, well, Jesse, Nick, and Emily, it was a real pleasure to have you on. I really wish you much success with this documentary. So, Emily, I'm going to put it on you to put all your Kickstarter information out there, or anything else you want to put out there.
Absolutely. Thank you so much again on behalf of all of us and the rest of the production crew. Thank you for having us on Blog Talk Radio Inside Acting. We've really enjoyed it. And the Kickstarter, if you go to Kickstarter.com, and you can search for Jesse Heyman, that's JesseHeiman, or you can search for World's Greatest Extra. Either one of those things will get you to the Kickstarter page. Every contribution is a portion of every contribution is actually tax deductible. That's something we didn't mention before, because we have a partnership with Jesse's favorite charity in Studio City, California, which is Lucky Puppy Rescue and Retail. As you can see in the video, and then also on some of Jesse's other video blogs and on his Facebook, he is a huge puppy fan. So we were able to secure that. We were able to secure a great partnership with those folks over there, and they're amazing. And so every donation, you know, is a portion of it is tax deductible, and we'll give more information on the Kickstarter page about how to go about that for your 2013 taxes. But the Kickstarter, like I said, every contribution is greatly appreciated, and you can donate anywhere from $1 to $10,000, and certainly contact us or engage with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Kickstarter. We'd love to have anyone's support.
All right, Emily, that was very well done. And Nick, I just thank you for even contacting me and setting this up again. You know, Jesse, you know, after you got that Super Bowl ad, man, I used to be able to hit you up on Facebook, and then after that, man, you were like, oh, I couldn't even touch you. You were like, oh, talk to my publicist. I couldn't even get near you, man. So it was good to have you on again. Huh?
My phone was blowing up at the time.
Yeah, man, yeah. Okay, man, it was great to have you on. I just thank all of you, and we'll definitely want to have you on again as you get near the end of the process for the documentary. And it was just I just had a blast tonight.
Thank you so much, William. Have a great one.
Okay. All right. Y'all have a great night.
You too. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. And I just want to tell all my listeners out there to do something for your career every day and break a leg.